MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
Chatting now with TJ Stradom, author, journalist, many things in studio. TJ, good to have someone in studio. Kurt Becker's Billions is the book that you've just published. A cracking read. I got to say, what perhaps struck me most at the early pages of the book was that he was just this kid from Heidelberg, which is a town which I know because I drive to Durban on the N3 and it was his past, let's be clear, I've never been in. Nothing special from a family perspective, but he was special. I mean, he was Ducks, he was head boy, he was a brilliant kid, but he didn't come from money or sort of Afrikanerdom in a sense.
Well, no, not money, certainly not, Simon, and hi, thanks for having me. But his family was politically well connected.
Sure.
Yes. But, you know, he obviously took the leap, went to Stellenbosch, studied there. And he was in that sort of milieu at exactly the right time. You know, he went to the same residence as his longtime business partner, Kobus Stoffberg. You know, other guys like Jans Kanel and Michiel Roux, they were there at the same time. Johan Rupert,
yeah.
Chris Otto. So he sort of picked the right place to go, I think, and then became part of this ecosystem of, you know, plenty of forward-thinking Afrikaners, definitely from a business sense. Talented guy, good guy to spot an opportunity, I'd say.
Yeah. And it's weird because Stellenbosch was almost like UCO in the 70s, University of California, where you had Gates and all the others, and not necessarily on campus, but it was that hot spot. And everyone thinks Kurzbeck, and they're like, yeah, one trick pony. He bought Tencent. Yo, okay, we'll come to Tencent in a bit. But, you know, Mnet, he started that. He was obviously DSTV. I had forgotten that he was, you know, a founding director of MTN. There was a lot more than just that Tencent. He was right there, and he was in the cutting edge. I mean, Mnet in the 80s was radical.
It's radical. It's the second or third pay TV business in the world, depending on who you believe. But it was the first really successful one outside of the US. And, you know, that on its own would have been a great life story.
Yeah.
A guy goes to America, decides probably not to come back to South Africa. He then comes back, pitches a business to the press groups, telling them, listen, I've got an idea for you guys to stop bleeding all this advertising revenue to the SABC, which had this incredible monopoly at the time. And they say, okay. And they take a run at it. It has a shaky start, but after 18 months, there's sort of a tipping point, and then suddenly this business starts printing money. He then has the reputation as a real wealth creator. It sets him up for a European venture. He's a partner there with Johan Rupert. They build an interesting business that, you know, is not profitable. They sell it to a big competitor.
Is that the one they sold to Canal Plus?
They did, yes.
Which now has a stake in MultiChoice.
In MultiChoice, so full circle.
Full circle.
You know, every 30 years, something returns to its beginning. So there they got a pile of cash. And, you know, Becker and Aspers. Becker wasn't heading Naspers at the time, but by 97 he became the CEO of Naspers, of this company for whom he just earned a lot of money because of their investment in MTN and these European ventures. And with that cash, they could then throw spaghetti at the wall, which was the internet then, and see what sticks. And they sort of picked the internet and China.
And that's the thing. And sitting here in 2022, you're like, well, of course he chose that wall to throw spaghetti at, which is internet and China. 1997, that was not the case. I mean, I was online in 97, me and about five other people. I mean, it wasn't, yes, we knew the internet was going to be something. We didn't know what. China was still just that, even broadly Asia, was not the powerhouse it is today in terms of, you know, China's the second biggest economy in the world.
Yes.
It was intense foresight to know which wall to throw the spaghetti at. And that seems to have been Kurzbecker reading the book constantly through his career. Was he just, yes, he was throwing the spaghetti, but he knew which direction.
He did. And he was lucky that it stuck
in
some parts. And, you know, we've had a few book launches this week about this book. And the funny thing is, part of the luck is also not just finding the investment, but you know, the scale of the payoff. So had he found a 10 cent and there was a, you know, it grew 30x, nice.
Mm.
But I mean, 10,000 times, it's a different story. I mean, that changes lives. It changes the trajectory of the stock exchange in South Africa where you're listed. It's just it's a sort of a world changer. And, you know, I also say it in the book, Quis, you know, one standout investment, a few okay ones, and then plenty of bad ones.
Yeah.
So he built one business, a great business, Mnet. And it changed South Africa. I think culturally it also changed South Africa. I mean, it was sort of a watershed moment when a family got Mnet in the late 80s or early 90s. It was a date that people remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that had an influence. There's sort of an Americanization of South African culture that happened, I think, mostly because of Mnet, because of the kind of entertainment that was brought in. So he had this outsized influence culturally. And then built a great business, found a great other business, but hasn't really been able to find enough. I mean, no one in his team has found another Tencent.
But I mean, but Tencent is, and this is not just from a South African perspective. People I know in the industry, in the US and even in Europe, will say it is the deal. It's the best deal, sort of the last 100 years, maybe 1,000 years. Who knows? I mean, maybe there's some others up there. It wasn't something you were going to replicate. But it was also part of it, and you know, some of his early, I mean, some of the early deals he did where they didn't sell, and then the prices collapsed, and it was the holding on, and I know from an investor and a trader, you know, it when you've got losses, it's easy, you cut them. When you got winners, and he was just like, no, it got bigger and bigger, and you know, every time he said it wouldn't sell, and a year later it would be worth even more again, and that was another skill. Particularly considering that he did this and like .com was collapsing and here he is in China buying tech companies.
Exactly. The time at which they invested is crazy. If you think of it, it's like buying a restaurant chain in the middle of COVID. It was like that. But yes, he convinced investors that they should – I say investors. Someone brought him the deal. Someone he sent to Asia. He then convinced the rest of the team, this is what we have to do. They did it. And this is after they committed $32 million to Tencent, which doesn't sound like that much now. But that's after they had lost $80 million in a already sort of what was perceived as a risky part of the world. And, you know, they stuck with it. And yes, he didn't sell. For 17 years, Naspers did not let go of a single share of Tencent. When they then did sell for the first time, and this is what's so brilliant, they just sold a sliver.
Yeah.
They paid $32 million initially. That first sliver they sold for $10 billion. Sold another sliver 3 years later for another $15 billion. I mean, and they still have something worth more than $100 billion.
Yeah, still there.
Amazing.
Yeah, and you said how Mnet was a cultural revolution for South Africa. And I hadn't thought of it that way, and it absolutely was. I mean, we never had it, but my friends who had it were my better friends, right? Because I could go and watch it. We got the open hour. In many senses, Tencent has changed the face of the JSE from a – and we can debate whether it's good or bad. We can park that aside. But from a mining-dominated 20 years ago to, ironically, the little South African stock exchange, a Chinese tech-dominated, and made South African investors good money.
Yes, certainly. Made lots of investors good money and also frustrated some other investors because they had to sell out so often when Naspers was the only gig in town growing and it just outgrew whatever their mandate was of how much they could invest in a single stock. And it must be incredibly frustrating. But yes, it has changed South Africa. I mean, Naspers, in effect, is South Africa's first true multinational, I'd say it's also a different multinational from any of the others. You know, SAP would be a great example, but they left to go and list in the UK.
Fair point.
So
they
Naspers is the JSE's sort of multinational, and they went into businesses that no one else really grasped or thought of going into, and they have built this empire of investments in consumer-facing tech with the money that they earned from Tencent over the years. And now it's a funny animal. I mean, it's food delivery and it's education technology and it's electronic classifieds and it's mobile payments and the stake in Tencent. And funny business, eh?
And write-downs in Russia. We haven't got time for that. We'll leave it there. The book is Kurs Becker's Billions. TJ Stratum, Riveting Read. Appreciate the time.
This show is brought to you by Stanlip. Visit stanlip.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlip Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.